Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be here for the first time. And for those of you who does not know me, I've been giving lecture mostly for Kiruv for almost 17 years, 16 and a half years. And I had the zchut, Be'ezrat Hashem, to start the website Torah Anytime with two of my Talmidim 4 or 5 years ago. And it became one of the most popular Jewish website in the world. 15,000 lectures there of all the best speakers. 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, I had this famous debate with a Christian priest that, you know, there's many missionaries that hunting Jewish neshamos and bringing them into them. So we had to do it. And all kinds of different interesting things, but I don't want to waste too much time on this. I wanted to, if you have anything in specific that you want me to talk about, please feel free, questions, anything, it's fine. I wanted mainly to speak about some combination of Musar and current events. As we all know, the situation in the world is very delicate. You don't have to be a genius to see that the world is in a very fragile situation. And kol ha'amim ro'ashim ve'go'ashim, all the nations are shaking and nervous about what's going to happen. For those of us who learned the words of the Nevi'im, of the prophets, we are not surprised. It had to come one day. But today it's closer than ever. Thank you. ברוך אתה אדוני, שהכל נהיה מדברו. Today, as we can see, Hashem slowly closing on us, the situation becoming tighter by the minute. And now it's the time that the Gemara says, in the days of Mashiach, what can only save us will be Torah and Gmilut Chasadim, which is two main things in the life of a person. The Gemara brings a story of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rebbe, that all of you heard it at least probably 100 times, but I want to focus on one point in this story, that Rebbe did not have mercy on the calf, on the egel that they wanted to slaughter, and he pushed him, Lech ki lekach nozarta, go, this is your job in life, this is your purpose. He wasn't lying, it was the case, but he should have had some feeling for him, for the animals. So, 13 years, he suffered very much, kidneys, gallbladder, he had the main serious problems, that he was screaming from the pain, and he made the horses get food. Every time he started to get an attack, they make noise. When the horses eat, they make a lot of noise. So they feed the horses every time. So the horses were hoping that he will start to scream because they want food. So every time he started to scream, the horses were very happy that they're going to get some food. And even the horses were making so much noise, everybody heard the screaming from far away. 13 years later, the pain stopped. Why the pain stopped? Before I'll say why the pain stopped, I want to ask a question. On their 13 years, the greatest person on the land, for sure he was the number one Jew at that time. The Gemara say, who deserves to be Mashiach? Who deserves to be Mashiach? Im hu b'chaim, if he's alive now, there's no doubt. From all the Chachamim, Rebbe should be the Mashiach. It comes from the family of David HaMelech, Rabban Gamliel, David HaMelech. So from all the Chachamim, he has everything a Chacham needs. He has wisdom, he has wealth. He has everything a perfect person may need. 13 years, he did not go to shul 3 times a day. For sure he did. He did not make chatati, aviti, pashati, for sure. He learned Torah in the highest level. He was the number one Baal Chesed. His table was full of food for the poor people all the time. Before he died, he raised his 10 fingers and he said, Hashem, you are my witness. I never enjoyed this world. What do you mean? You're the richest guy. Imagine now the richest Jew in the world come and say, Hashem, you know, I never enjoyed this world. He has mansions, houses, servants, tables made from gold. And he come and say, of course, if he said that, that was the case. It was all mine, but it really wasn't. It was all for everyone. So 13 years is full of chassadim, full of Torah, full of davening. Every year, slichos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, cheshbon nefesh, not like today. In the highest level, and the pain didn't go anywhere. 13 years is suffering for such a little thing? What's going on here? What did he do? They'll kill this calf one way or the other. It's not the end of the world. Hashem made them to be eaten, so fine, he didn't have tzar ba'alei chaim. It's a fake, the oraita, the rabbanan. Fine, he should have had some feeling for them. It wasn't in his hand, it was again, one way or the other, it would happen. The answer is, this Gemara teaching us, man, there's many places to learn from, but from this Gemara you can learn that if a person will do everything like a robot, Mitzvat anashim melumada or not, even if it comes from his heart. Most of the things we do, it's like a robot. We not always think about what we do. But in this level, they did think about everything they did. Tefillin was tefillin, and davening was davening, and learning was learning. And it still did not help him. What helped him 13 years later? That he corrected the specific problem that he had. When the maid was sweeping the mice, he said, hey, verachamav al kol ma'asav, don't you have mercy on them? That moment, the pain gone. What do we learn from this? Many of us has questions. We do, we daven, we pray, we do slichos, we cry to Hashem, and the problems are not going away. The problem only goes away when a person go to the root of the problem. What is the root of the problem? If you fix the root canal, the pain is gone. You make a feeling, you do cosmetic, whatever you do, 5 hours you sit in a chair by the dentist, he doesn't clean the roots, the pain will never go away, no matter what you're going to do. You can take medication, make you feel better, but if a person doesn't correct the negative from his life, things are not going to be better, not in Olam Hazeh, not in Olam Haba. The Gaon Mivilna says, Tikkun Amidot Ze Kol Adam. Most people invest a lot of time in many things in life, as the Torah instructed us, but they hardly invest anything in tikkun amidot. Sometimes you see a person that learns Torah 40 years, you take $20 away from him, or you don't pay him on time, he's going so crazy, you wonder if he's a yid or if he's a criminal, this guy. How is he behave for $20, or you pay him the rent 1 week later? Where is his emunah, what's going on here? They say a story that one of the rebbes, one time on Friday night, he said to his shamash, he said to him, I have to go visit somebody. Come with me. Friday night, Erev Shabbos. So they went to a house of a very wealthy banker that wasn't the chassid from his chassidus. It was somebody else. So they went in, and the banker was very surprised. The Rebbe come to my house? Somewhere in Europe since many years ago. So he says to him, what did I have that you came to my house? So he said to him, it doesn't pay to tell you why I came. Imagine the situation. Rebbe, please have a seat. So the Rebbe sits for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. The rich man is waiting for him to say something. He doesn't say anything. The shamas is very embarrassed. He doesn't understand what's going on, and the rich person is sweating already. He's very nervous. Then after a minute, he called the shamas to the kitchen. He said, maybe you know anything what's going on here? He's making me very nervous. He said, I tell you the truth, I never saw something like this. Something is going on here, I don't know. Another 10 minutes, then the banker said to him, Rebbe, please, you're embarrassing me. Tell me what's on your mind. So he told him, I came to do a mitzvah. כשם שמצווה לומר דבר הנשמע, כך מצווה לא לומר דבר שאינו נשמע. Translation, The same way it's an obligation to say something that a person would hear and improve. Hochiach, tochiach et amitecha. The same way there's mitzvah, if you know this person is not capable of receiving now musar, leave him alone, don't say anything, it will only be worse. Sometimes it's better will be shogeg than not mezi, there's few reasons for it. So he said to him, so what do you have on your mind that you want to tell me that you had to come all the way here and not tell me? So why did you bother? He said, you don't understand. If I wouldn't come, it wouldn't be a mitzvah, because I wouldn't see you. Now when I see you and I'm dying to tell you, I'm holding myself, now it's a mitzvah. Now the banker is going completely crazy. I'm begging you, tell me please. It reminds me, I went to Miami Beach last Friday, last Shabbos. I had the Shabbaton there and then. So before I went to the airport on Monday, they told me, now you have a lecture tomorrow at 12 noon. By the Diamond District in downtown Miami. It's all the diamond dealers. Yeah. So you have to go over there. So after I finished the lecture, the rabbi there told me, now we have to go to the airport, but we have half an hour. There's somebody who did not come to the lecture. Let's pay him a visit. So one of the people there said, oh, why is so important we have to go to him? He has a lecture here in the building. He should have come. Why you have to go to him? So the rabbi told me, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Let's go to him 10 minutes. We say, hi, it's a shame you didn't come. I said, okay. He wasn't really asking me. He was already leading me to the elevator. So we went there to the 8th floor, an Israeli diamond dealer. We walked in. I saw his eyes almost came out when he saw us. So I said to him, don't worry. We didn't come to collect tzedakah. Don't worry, I said. So right away he said, why not? Usually you come, can you help please? Mm-hmm. Wow, rabbi, business is very bad now. Can you come back next month? But now I came, I said, don't worry, we didn't come. I came to give you some free CDs and to say to you, you know, to wish you atzlacha. Why not? I want to give. It's reverse psychology. I said, no, if I will take from you, I won't be able to be mashpia on you. He said, you won't be able to be mashpia on me one way or the other, so you might as well take the money. I said, how did I learn that if you want to be mashpia on a person, don't deal with him with money? Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel, when they started the famous speech to the nation, Davar echad lo lakachnu mikem. Not clothing, not a donkey, not gold, not silver, not nothing. Now I have the right to hit you on your head. If I receive from you, I cannot open my mouth. We see it all the time. So I said with the guy, Baruch Hashem, the rest is not so important. He took some CDs and now he's already, like they say, be'orot, in lights. He woke up, he started to realize. So the Rebbe is sitting there. And he said to him, Rebbe, I'm begging you, I promise you, if you say it, it will help. It will be nishma. So he says to him, you have a widow that her husband just died and left her with many kids, and you send her a notice to evict the house because she has mortgage by you and she can't pay the mortgage. So you told her to leave the house and take the children somewhere in a freezing, snowy winter. And I came to tell you that if you really believe a little bit in Hashem, not a lot, a little bit, you have to let her stay and don't touch her. Right away, he said, Rebbe, how can you ask me such a thing? I'm not the only owner of the bank. I have two partners. They go crazy if they hear this. So the Rebbe said, you see, I told you it's not going to be heard. Wednesday, it's the auction. We're selling the house because she's not paying the mortgage. She's not paying the mortgage. Wednesday, when the auction was about to start, the banker, for 4 days, from Friday night until Wednesday morning, his conscience was killing him. And then he ran and stopped the auction. It bothered him. He said, okay, she can stay in the house. He let her stay in the house. 13 years, Rebbe was suffering. All the slichot, nothing helped. In the end, when he corrected that specific problem, everything was gone. Anybody here in this world can raise his hand and say, I'm clean from gaiva, from being stingy, from being angry, from having no patience, from not being the best husband, from not being the great father. You know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, everybody know who he was. Don't need my explanation here. In the Bar Mitzvah of his son, which is also a very big chacham and tzaddik, he got up, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Sheptarani Me'onsho Shel Zeh, with the name, with Shem U'Malchut. Everyone was shocked. We're not saying this. Say without Shem of Hashem. Kol Bracha She'en Ba Shem U'Malchut Ena Bracha. But he got up and said with the name of Hashem. So, they ask him, Rabbi, why did you say the name of Hashem? So he said to them, why not? Why don't we say the name of Hashem in this bracha? Do you know why? Because we don't want it to be bracha levatala. Why? Why do you say this, that Hashem, you're releasing me now from the punishment of this boy? Which means, up to now, I had a part in it, right? He's under my chinuch. Now he's a man. He can get married now, 13. In the old days, that's it. He used to get married in this age already. So what's the problem? It's by himself now. But we know that if we're going to say this bracha with Shemu Malchut, it could be bracha levatala, because if I made mistake with the chinuch of this boy, I'm not dismissed from his punishment. So how can I make a bracha with Shemu Malchut on a lie? Right? If a guy get up and if a woman make a bracha for men, or a man for woman, or a Jew for a guy, or whatever, or a guy for a Jew, I should say. So that's a lie. You cannot say it. To say, I know that I raised this boy exactly according to how Hashem told me. I did not make one mistake on him. I know it's not bracha levatala. Same one when his wife was in her funeral, he said next to her grave, you and I know that I don't have even one reason to ask you for mechila before you go to Olam HaEmet. But I'll do it anyway for the Kvod HaTzibur. You and I know how long they've been married, 50, 60 years, who knows? We cannot say it in 6 minutes sometimes. 60 years he was with his wife, and he said in her funeral, and you know it wasn't a Mr. Show-off trying to impress the people. We're not talking about somebody like that. He said, I don't have one reason to ask you for mechila. 60 years you live with the wife, not one time, no anger, no argument, none of these things. Perfect relationship. Used to be Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, sitting in a kitchen and peeling okra for his wife and cucumbers for Shabbos. Gdol Ador, the whole Torah in his hand. Getting on a bus, the driver take a towel and throw it to him. He didn't know who he is. He was so humbled, such an anav. He never wanted a driver, a fancy car, take me here, 5 shamashim, taking me there to wear this Sfaradish alfet. No, I don't want any of that. He looked like someone who has a vegetable boot in a market in Yerushalayim. That's how he looked. And the whole Torah from A to Z, including the whole, he was the biggest Kabbalist in the world. And what was he? If he wouldn't be his Talmid, he wouldn't know who he is on the street. And the driver threw him a towel. Excuse me, Bachurchik, can you clean the mirror for me? He was standing on a bus in front of the whole bus and cleaning the mirror until the people almost killed the driver. Poor driver didn't know who he is. But he had no problem cleaning the mirror. One time he came to his yeshiva, and he said, everyone went already to the wedding, one of his talmidim getting married. Anyone go to the chasuna now? One guy said, Kvod Arav, I'm going. They have room for me maybe in a car? He said, I don't have a car, I have a Vespa. You know what a Vespa is? A scooter with a boat attached to it. He said, I have a Vespa, Kvod Arav. He didn't know what Vespa is. He said, what's Vespa? It drives? He said, it drives, Kvod Arav, but it's open, there's no roof. He said, okay, it drives, yeah. He said, yeah, but you're going to have to sit in. The guy is very nervous now. He's going to sit in Yerushalayim. The biggest chacham is sitting next to me, the Vespa. So he started to go. And then after a few minutes, the entire Yerushalayim, everyone is standing like this. They can't believe what they see. Av Bedina Gadol, sitting in a Vespa. He didn't have a problem sitting in a Vespa. He didn't feel that something is wrong. And then after 10 minutes of driving, he says, stop! He got up and started to cry like this on the street. Wasn't stopping, crying, crying. What happened, Kvod Harav? So I just realized that it's an embarrassment. I see how all the people point and look. I didn't know it's something bad. Chilul Hashem, ani av bedin. Up to that moment, he didn't even see what's wrong with this. But that moment, one time there was somebody after he became paralyzed. So he told him, take me to Gan Saker in Yerushalayim. The driver did not understand what this Rav has to do in Gan Saker in the middle of the weekday. I don't know, 2 p.m, something like this. So he said, okay, I'll take you to the Gan Saker. So he said, park the car here, wait for me, I come soon. What a normal Yid does when he takes Gdol Hador to the middle of the day to the park. He followed to see what he has to do there. There's no mikveh there, no nothing. What does he do there? So he followed him. You see, he sits on a bench like this. Then 5 minutes later, another big chacham with adrat panim comes, sit on a bench in front. They look at each other 5 minutes like this. They get up, he goes, and he goes. And this person said, I didn't have the nerve to ask him, what was that, Rav? I followed him. I said, I don't know what he did. He comes, who knows, maybe it was Eliyahu HaNavi, I don't know. It's definitely not something normal. You sit over there. But humbled all the way down. One time he ran to the yeshiva, he saw one Talmid reading Pashkevil there on the wall. Demonstration here, demonstration there. And he grabbed him by the hand. He said, run, run, it's an emergency. Run, run, run after me. He wasn't a healthy man. Run. So they run, 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 run. He said, run after me. It's mamash emergency. The guy's very nervous. Who knows what happened? He comes to the yeshiva. He says, sit, 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 don't move. He runs, get the Gemara, open the Gemara. Learn quick, learn. So what happened? Kvod Harav, you got me nervous. I thought it's an emergency. He said, we not only have to learn Torah, we have to live by the Torah. Don't you say, Im lo briti yomam v'layla chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti? You read it hundreds of times. We are responsible for the existence of the world. Why do you have time to stand on the street and read the flyers over there? You obey Torah or you care about these things? You're wasting time, precious time. This is how these people were. It's only 12 years ago. Not talking 2,000 years ago here. We have so much hashgacha in our life, we usually don't even realize. Hashem shows us all the time signs. We sometimes get amazed for a minute or two and we forget. Why does Hashem every once in a while make a very serious nest for a person? Every once in a while something amazing happened in his life. Like mamash hashgacha that you can see right away, it could not be. I'll give you an example. One time I come home, I see my wife is standing in the kitchen with a telephone and a credit card in her hand. And I say, Baruch Hashem, by me, it's very rare. It doesn't really happen. She doesn't order anything with the phone. I say, if she's holding a card, I wonder what she's buying. I told her, what are you buying? She said, we ran out of checks. So we have to order new checks. I say, how many are you ordering? She say, you know, I want to order, but it's very expensive. It's like $80 for a few checks. It's very expensive. I said, wow, it's 5 times more than 2 years ago. Prices went 5 times higher. I said, you know what, give me a minute. Let me go check. I'll check. Maybe I can get better price. I go in the computer. I want to check people who print checks. I see somebody. You don't see who. There's many, many names, thousands of names. You have to pick one of them. I say, Hashem, let me pick one. What do I know? Here, let's pick this guy. I see an 800 number. I usually better, for me, it's better to call on the phone than all these computer things. I call on the phone. For sales, press 1. I press 1. Somebody comes to the phone. I say to him, I see that you advertise 600 checks for $30, very cheap price. He say, oh, yeah, this kind of checks, yes. I say, okay, does that include shipping or not? Listen to this story. You probably never hear a story like this ever, of hashgacha. I say to him, does it include shipping or no? He said, no, not include shipping. I say to myself, oh, that's the catch. Now it's going to add another $20. It's the same thing. So I said, how much is the shipping? He said, depend to where. Now I picked him up from thousands of names, thousands, hundreds of pages of advertisement. So I said to him, he said, to where? I said, to Muncie, New York. So he said, where in Muncie? What the customer service asked me, where in Muncie? It's Nafkamina, if it's here or there? It's the same shipping, no? So I'm saying to myself, maybe it's scam. I'm not going to give him my exact address. So I'll tell him more or less to the area. I say, Highview, corner of Nelson. I live right by Rav Schlesinger in the cul-de-sac there, right by Rav Schlesinger Shul. So he said, oh, just come tonight to Rav Schlesinger Shul and I bring you the box. I say to him, oh, you live in Muncie? He say, yes. I say, where in Muncie? He say, Bates Drive. I say, wow, I used to live in Bates Drive. Where in Bates Drive? Same building I lived. Same building. I went. I couldn't go that night, so the next day I went to his house to pick up the box. I look at the old neighborhood. What is the chance that something like this will happen? 7 billion people in the world, 300 million people in America. You know how many thousands of names of people who print checks? Why Hashem did this? And if a guy would be, I don't know, in Carolina and send me the box, it would be same price. It's not about the price. To show you everything is Ashgacha. Everything is Ashgacha. One time I called Citibank. They bounced a check of mine, the money was there. I said to the customer service, why you bounce the check? The signature is fine, everything, the money is there. What's the problem? He said, yeah, it's computer error. I said, now you're embarrassing me in front of the person. Baruch Hashem, I never had bound checks. Now it's first time, it's an embarrassment. So no problem, we write him a letter, apologize. As I'm 20 minutes explaining to this guy what to do, how to do, the phone got disconnected. I have to go start all over from the beginning. I said, no, Yisurim, therefore Yisurim Megiim, Matbea, you want to take two, three and two came out. So I called back again, Citibank. At that time was the biggest bank in America. I called, I said, I just got disconnected with your customer service. I was explaining him that, you know, that I have a check, the check bounced, but the money was there. So the guy screamed, sir, it's me. It's me. I said to him, it's you? He said, yeah, you just got me again. He said to me, do you know what's the chance that somebody will call again and get the same customer service? It's 1 to 1 billion. You know, we have so many buildings all over the United States, tens of thousands of employees answering the phones, and it's such a complicated operator. Every time you send it to a different state, different building, to come to the same building, to the same person? No. How to believe? This is an Ashgacha. 100% Ashgacha. The Ashgacha story, if you make a diary, when you're down, it brings you up big time. You know, one time, I had a guy that came to my house, he's a Chiloni. He started to keep Shabbos after he heard the lectures, and he has a girlfriend. So now the girlfriend is a waitress in a restaurant in Brooklyn, and he's a driver in a taxi, and they want to get married, but they're starting now to keep Shabbos. We don't have to be a genius to know when a boy and a girl, chilonim, together, how many averos of karet they're doing. So I'm thinking to myself, what were all the entire meeting that I have with them is only for one thing. I have to make sure to separate them. Until they one day get married, fine. But right now to separate between them. So I'm talking to them for 2 hours about this averaz, nida, it's horrible, explaining to him what it is. And I see that they're really, really almost dying from the fear of the situation, that they realize now what they're doing. But the taiva of a person sometimes is so strong that he can die. He can die. That's what the Torah say. They're eating the basar. Abasar ben shinem. They're falling and dying and they continue to eat shish kebab. What's going on with you? You didn't see 5 people just fell and died? You have to eat the steak? Give it up. I can't, it's too strong. So what happened with them? After 2 hours, I saw that I almost made it, but they didn't give up. They don't want to move out. Yeah, it's extra rent. So you know, when you already lost, you have nothing to lose. I say, you know what, let's ask Hashem what to do. Let me gamble. We'll work fine. If not, I'm not losing anything. He said, what do you mean? He said, I said, let's open the chumash first, right side on the top. Whatever comes is a message from Hashem. You want to do it? He looks at her, yeah. He said, and there was another girl, two girls, another waitress, three of them. He said, okay, I do. I said, let's make a prayer to Hashem that will really answer your question. We're praying for a few minutes. Repeat after me. I said, open. He opened it up. First line on the right. Ve'elisha benida tumata lo tikrav legalot ervata. The girl started to run in the house. Wow. Today, I sent her to Midrashiyah in Yerushalayim with the other girl and the guy to Yeshiva in Eretz Israel. They got married. Today, the Haredim, they have already 5-6 kids already. If it wouldn't open, who knows what would be? It's Hashgacha of Hashem. Of course, when Hashem wants, he does it. When he doesn't want, he has his reasons. But we have Hashgacha, we just not always see it. The problem in these generations that people want to live in two different worlds. The world of the Torah in Yiddishkeit and the secular world, I have to match myself to the business district. I have to dress like them, I have to do. It's pressure. How am I going to come? The way I look, I don't feel comfortable in business. I'm going on a plane, I go to places, I have to eat. It's a conflict between the Torah and the world today. So what's the problem is people want to put in their suitcase more than they have. The suitcase has 20 pounds. They push, take out, push again. One time Rav Steinman saw that his shamash is selling his suitcase to come to Monsi, to America. So he see, maybe an hour, he's fixing the suitcase. He puts the slippers. No, he's changed it like this. He put pajama. He put this, he put that, he takes it out again, he brings something else. So he said to him, wow, you've been already working on this suitcase for 1 hour. He said, Rabbi, yeah, we're going to America, overseas. I want to make sure I don't forget anything. So he told him, you just taught me a great deal of Musar here. When you come, when you go far away, you have to come ready with the suitcase. Ba'alotcha lirot et pnei Hashem Elokecha. Don't come with empty hands. When you come to see Hashem, make sure your hands are full. So what's happening here? The person wants too much than what he needs. And that's messed up his life. If a person would focus on really what he needs, life would be very easy. Why life is full of stress? Why it's full of agony, full of anger, full of pain, full of aggravations, all kinds of problems? Because people want what they don't need. On that part, Hashem hit us very bad. There's a mashal on a bird. The bird, one Yid wanted to take a bird, to buy a bird and slaughter the bird and eat it for Shabbos. So I went to the market, he saw a big bird. So he took the bird. And on the way home, the bird started to talk. The bird told him, you know, I don't think it's a good idea that you kill me. I really don't want to die. So he looks at the bird, he says, well, I paid money for you. He said, listen, I'll give you three advices. And if you promise to let me go. So he said, well, it better be good advices. He said, yes, I'm giving you great advices. First, never regret something good that you did. Never regret. Second, don't believe bombastic stories that people say. People like to add, they make a small story much bigger. Don't buy it so quick. Investigate, check, suspect. Don't be naive. And the third, don't ever do something that it's above your ability. Most people want to go to a place they don't belong there. They kill themselves to get there. They waste their life. Three advices. He let the bird fly. The bird flew and landed on a branch on a tree. So the birds say, "Ha, I fooled you real good." He say, "What?" He say, "5 minutes before you bought me, I swallow a 10-carat blue diamond, probably worth $10 million. If you would slather me and open me and clean me from inside, you find this diamond, you'll be the richest guy in the land." So this guy went crazy. He tried to grab the things. He climbed on the tree, he tried to grab it. And the birds is playing games with him. So finally he came to the top of the tree, was hanging to the branch. The branch fell. He fell down. His entire body is broken to pieces. So the bear told him, "How can you be so fool? I just gave you a minute ago three advices. In 1 minute you violated all of them already. What did I tell you? First thing, don't believe nonsense. Don't be naive. Everything you hear right away. I told you a story about the diamond. What's the chance the bird will swallow such a diamond? 1 to 1 billion? Why do you buy it so quick? Second, I told you, don't regret something good you do. Don't you know? If a yid comes, chas v'shalom, before he dies and say, I regret I kept Torah and mitzvot. I regret. In 1 second, he lost 70 years of Torah and mitzvot, if he say with his mouth. This is why there's moda'a ve'gilui da'at, like the Kabbalists, Lam Nekubalim, by the Ben Ish Chai, that a person have to read it every day. What does it say over there? If one day I will say by any chance that I chas v'shalom regret the Torah and mitzvot that I kept or any other mitzvah that I did, that I'm hare ani megale da'ati, that I'm not, that's not what I think, it's a mistake, I'm not aware of what I'm saying. This is the truth, what I'm declaring right now. That I never regret it. Why? Why I have to say it? Because before a person dies, he see the Satan is coming. And the Satan is full of eyes. Millions of eyes. You don't see anything, just eyes. And he has the cherev, the sword with the drop in the edge, as it brings his reshit chokhma there. And he comes and he takes the neshama of the person out. Sometimes he say to a person, "I make a deal with you. You're only 70, you're young, can live. I'll give you 15 more years to live. If you agree to say that all the Torah and mitzvahs you kept was all nonsense. Say it, 15 more years I give you now." Person is nervous, sometimes afraid to die. He may not be responsible in a stupid moment, he may say it. The Satan says, "Now you kereach from both sides. You don't have Olam Hazeh, you don't have Olam Haba. I'm thanking you, I'm not giving you 15 years, and now you lost all your mitzvot." One time, a Jew had the disease, and he was a very wealthy Jew. He had $100 million that he saved in all his career, that he's a businessman for 50 years since he's 20. And he's laying in a hospital, he has maybe 2-3 days to live, and a Chinese doctor showed up. Little Chinese doctor came inside his room with a little glass like this. He said to him, "Mr. X, I have good news for you. See this liquid? You drink it, tomorrow morning you're out of the hospital, brand new. Still 70 years old, I don't know, I mean he's still an old man, but the sickness that you have will come out of your body." So the Jew was very happy. He said, "Give it to me." He said, "Not that fast. I want $99 million for it. I checked your financials. I know you have $100 million. Please, you sign here on the documents. You give me $99 and you can have it. I would leave you $1 million. You're 70 years old. It should be enough for you for the rest of your life to eat. But I want $99 million. And I'm telling you already that this liquid cost me $1 to make. But nobody knows the secret. And I promise you, tomorrow morning you're out of the hospital. What do you think he's going to do?" I hinted to you now. he would give, of course. Nobody wants to die. It's scary. The smarter you are, the scarier it is. You know the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan. Talmidim was saying, "Rabbi, why are you so nervous? 120 years old. If I go in front of a king that is basar v'adam, is human being, I can bribe him, I can work it out, I send somebody who knows the judge. And I'm still will die from fear. Now when I go in front of a real honest king, I won't be afraid. So his talmidim told him, give us a bracha. So he told him, Yehem mora shamayim aleichem kemora bnei adam. It sounds like a curse, not like a bracha. Until it happens to you once in your life, then you realize it was a real good bracha. He said, I wish you'd be afraid of Hashem like you're afraid of the policeman in Palisades Parkway. That's what he told them. And one time it happened to me. 2 o'clock at night, I drive 80. I want to come home. Tired already, 2 o'clock. I want to make it home already. They make the rules on purpose to make people fail, that they can get some money out of you. They put 50 over there. Right, 50, you fall asleep. 50 is like standing. It's like running, you know? So you drive 75, whatever. All of a sudden, red light, pull over. Wow. They come with their guns, flashlights. So it's the registration's license. I say to myself, wow, I went really fast now in New Jersey. It's crazy here. So I started to see that my hands is shaking. While I'm looking for the registration, I started to feel, wow, I don't have control on my hand. Why am I afraid so much? $200, what's the big deal? Go like this. After it was over, then I remember this Gemara. I say to myself, if one time in my life I felt like this when I made an Avera, even the Shogeg, Kal Vachomer, one time in my life I'll be like this, that's exactly the bracha Rabbi Yochanan gave. If you be afraid of Hashem like you're afraid of people, then you're in a good place already. So the Jew wanted to give, he gave 99 million. He gave the 99 million. So the question we have to ask, how many years he made this 100 million? 50 years, right? From morning to night, rugging, convention, running here, meeting, courts, lawsuits, traffic, problems with his wife, can hardly see his children. He paid such a price to gain this wealth. And in the end, he gave it. Maybe he would live one more day. Maybe one more day he would live. It's already an old man. So the answer is, Hashem gives us life. We don't appreciate it. When we're about to lose it, we're willing to pay everything to get it back. That's what's going on here. This is somehow the nature of the person. You don't appreciate what you have. Many times couples come, they want to get divorced. They think by getting divorced, it would solve all the problem. So you have to prepare them in advance. My friend, if you thought you have problems now, wait until you be lonely in your place. You're going to have double problems. Because you still have to fight with your ex-wife for money and this and that, which is what you do right now in a house. But now you're going to have new problems that you still didn't have. To do your own laundry, to do your own shopping, to make yourself breakfast, lunch, everything she did for you, you have to do. Your problems will be double. So why don't you correct your bad midot and become a human being, put your ego down, and you see that all your problems are gone right there. You see, a person that has problems with others, first he has to make peace with himself, and then everything else will be solved automatically. All the problems you have with others, it's problems that you had with yourself, and you take it on others. You're corrected with yourself, everything else will be fine. This is what the Gaon Mivilna said. Tikkun HaMidot Ze Kol HaAdam. 100%. Shlomo HaMelech said Mishlei. Lama Ze Mechir Beyad Ksil Liknot Chochma Velev En. Translation. Ksil, it's a fool. It's in his hand to buy wisdom, but he doesn't have a heart. What's the connection between the heart and wisdom? He should have said, but he doesn't have brain. He doesn't have a head. Why he doesn't have a heart? Everywhere in the Torah it says, Chacham Lev. The Lev, the Chochmah is not in the Lev. The Chochmah is in the head. The Neshama is in the head. The memory, it's in the head. The understanding, it's in the head. It's nothing to do with the heart. But everywhere in the Torah, it's a Chacham Lev. Also here, Lev, what's the connection? There are three different levels in the life of a person. Chochma, Bina, Vadat. Chochma means you hear a story, you understand. Bina, the ability to understand one thing from the other. You make your own investigation and you get it out. What does it mean, da'at? Chazal say, da'at kanita, ma chasarta. Da'at chasarta, ma kanita. Da'at kanita, if you have da'at, you have everything. What do you mean? I don't have a house, I don't have a car, I don't have a watch, I don't have anything. But I have da'at, but I don't have anything. Chazal say, ma chasarta. You have everything you need. On the other hand, you have everything you have, but you don't have da'at. Chazal say, you have nothing. What is this da'at that it's so important? What's da'at? The answer is the ability to take everything you learned and translate it into actions. And how do you do it? You take the wisdom and push it into the heart. We say it every day 3 times, but not always we realize. In Alenu Leshabeach, what do we say? Ve'yadata hayom, to know it's today. Yadata, today you come 1 hour, proofs, you see Hashem, the Torah, everything is all divine. No problem. But it's not enough. Many people know and do nothing about it. Ve'yadata hayom, right away change. Ve'ashevotai levavecha. Why not? And you put it in your heart. The answer is, to know it's easy. But you will have to return it every day into your heart. Take the wisdom from here and push it into the heart, because that's where the Yetzer Hara is. That's where the war is. The Yetzer Hara against the Chochmah Shelcha. To do it. And it comes out again. And you have to push it again. Vashevota, Lashiv means to return. It will go out. The Torah already told you. Don't think that by gaining knowledge and putting it one time in your heart, it's over. It's the battle of life. This is what Shlomo HaMelech say here, Lev. That's what Hashem say in Bayom Ahu, Ve'asiroti et Lev Ha'Even. I'm going to remove your heart of stone. Why stone? It's very hard to absorb anything. It's hard. And I will put you soft heart, a real heart, to observe all the wisdom. Lev Ha'Even. Lev Ha'Even, it's an expression for cruel people. In Israel, that's how, when you say Lev Shel Even, means a cruel person. But it's also a heart that does not receive any chokhmah. We'll finish with one last thing. When Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel had their arguments, they say, Noach lo la'adam shenivra. 2.5 years they sit and argue, the two most important chachamim and the yeshiva. 2.5 hours they argue, 2.5 years they argue, im noach lo la'adam sheba la'olam o lo. Was good for us to be created or not? Gamru b'manu, in the end they all reached an agreement that it was better that he won't come to the world. Now when he came to the world, yefashvesh b'masav, yemashmesh b'masav, we know this gemara. But the question is, how is it possible that two rabbis, excuse my language, have the nerve to even start such an argument? Especially in front of their yeshiva. You want to argue two chief rabbis of the world, you go to the room and say, tell me the truth. Is it good that Hashem created us? What do you say, that maybe it was a mistake? What's the other option? If it's not good, it's a mistake. There's no in between. Now you're making these arguments in front of the Talmidim, the entire yeshiva. What's the secret in this Gemara? And in the end, everybody agreed, better off he wouldn't be created. Now when you're stuck, that's it, you're stuck. There's nothing you can do, you're here already. You might as well get the best you can from the situation. That's what it sounds like. That's not what it is. It says like this, Noach. It doesn't say im tov lo la adam. Many darshanim don't pay attention, and they say im tov lo la adam sheba la olam o lo. Then you messed up the entire meaning of this gemara. It said noach lo noach. Noach means comfortable, easy, piece of cake, picnic. No, picnic it's not. Noach it's not. It's hard work. Hard, massive work every minute of your life. It never ends for a minute. No time to sit and relax. They say in the name of Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev, he says, Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzar me'od. Why not derech tzara me'od? Why gesher? Why a bridge? Rav Nachman should say, כל העולם כולו, דרך צרה מאוד, very narrow road. Why very narrow bridge? What's the difference? The answer is, on the road when you're tired, you get on the side and nap 2 hours. On the bridge, if you stop 1 second, it's the end of the world. You won't be alive if it's in New York. There's no time to stop. 1 second you stop right away, the tow truck comes, the police, sometimes the helicopter pick you up. You cannot rest, my friend. Kol ha'olam kulot gesher, you gotta be on the move. You stand, you go down. There's no standing still. You're either up or you're down. There's no in between. There's no permission to go down. Sometimes a person asks from Hashem in his prayer things that are good for him, but bad for others. And he's wondering why Hashem doesn't give me. For instance, the owner of the car wash is begging Hashem, please don't bring rain today. It's very cloudy. I had enough rain this season. I need business. Please, Hashem, no, clear the sky. And the farmer across the street, 500 farmers in Shachris, in Shomea Tfila, please rain. 500 tons of tomatoes, cucumbers, everything is in jeopardy. So he's asking for something that is good for him. But he doesn't understand why Hashem, he never listened to my prayer. Why? Hashem has his own calculation. Your good could come on the expense of another, and that's not a good good. It's not a good thing. Sometimes a person asks for things that are good to him, but they're really bad for him. He thinks they're good, but they're really bad. He asks for specific shiduch that's poison for him, but he doesn't see it. So Hashem doesn't listen to him. Or the most common thing that a person asks from Hashem to remove the obstacles from his life. That's a very common mistake that people do. A person pray to Hashem, Hashem, I have this guy on my head. I have this guy on my head. He's driving me crazy. How long I will suffer from him? Help me. Take him away. Do something. And really, the only reason that Hashem put you in the world is to deal with this problem. So what are you asking? That Hashem will take it away? There's no, he won't keep you 1 minute in the life here. Doesn't need you here. He only puts you to deal with this situation. That's the test of your life. In business, in marriage, with your children. Sometimes you see that great people have bad children. Great father, learning Torah. Great midot, great father, great husband, great human being. Not reason he has to have a kid that is off the derech or who knows what he does. Like Yitzchak and Esav, that's a perfect example. The answer is, when Hashem has to bring the neshamos to the world, they're waiting for a gilgul, for tikkun, to come back here, to correct. So they're staying in a place. There's two names for this place. One, in one place, it's called guf. Guf. All the neshamos are there. This is the secret in the Gemara, En ben David ba'ad shelo yichlu ha'neshamot min ha'guf. All the souls that are in this tank, this place that called guf, that Hashem is putting them on hold, until they wait for their last gilgul. As long as their neshamos there, the Mashiach won't come because the job is not done. When they finish there, then Mashiach come, then that's it. There's no more gilgulim because that's no more yetzerara. That's the secret. Then another place is called Tohu, that they're on hold. It's like pending, on hold. So a person, you know, is a big man, is a big tzaddik. And now there's a neshama of a rasha that needs to come for another chance. Now Hashem has to see to which husband and wife to send this rasha. Where will he send him? To Harlem? There's no chance for him to correct. What are you going to put him? You put him in the area, as soon as he comes to the world, there's already no chance to succeed. So he put him in a best house, or one of the best house, and the parents go crazy. They have chalishut adat. What did I do wrong? I got such a boy. I'm giving my life for the emet and this and that. And then I have to deal with these things. And he doesn't really know that only because Hashem trusted him and think very highly of him, he sent him this very bad neshama. It's like when you hire a babysitter, you want to make sure you bring a good one for your kids. Don't just bring someone from the street. references, this, education, whatever. You check. So Hashem say, you are worthy enough to take care of this neshama. If you succeed, you get a huge reward. If you don't, it's not your fault. That's the way it is. He has a bechira, a free choice. But if I put him somewhere else, then for sure he doesn't have a chance. What is he going to do? Watch television all day? Do you expect him to be a tzaddik? I put you by him that when he dies now, he comes again with his excuses, Hashem, I fell again. Last time you said, well, where you put me? Look at my parents, look at my area. How do you think that I can be a tzaddik? Now he cannot say anything. Say, oh, look where I put you. Your father was the most important chacham in town. Your mother was the biggest rebbitzin, tzaddikah. I put you in the best yeshiva, in the best environment. And what did you become? A bum again. So what's your complaints now? It's a part of the test. And a person is killing himself. It's all my fault, it's all my fault. But he's wondering why. Not always. Sometimes it is your fault. But sometimes it's not. Bezrat Hashem, there's a lot of challenges now. The world, the anti-Semitism here in America, everybody has to open their eyes. They're rising quickly now. Demonstration, burning cars, all kinds of things against Jews, Wall Streets and the subway. One Russian Jew came out of the subway, they beat him up, he almost died. There's a lot of graffiti against Jews. The internet is full of Nazis, people who speak like Nazis, against Jews here in New York. It's not a joke. It's a place that half of the people in this state is almost Jews. So much against the Jews, so it's really scary. In France, you cannot walk with a kippah. In England, the same. Well, Arab took over. In Belgium, a Jew cannot enter a house of a goy. If you come, if you're an electrician, the Belgians, the guy, he says to you, go out, you're a Jew, you cannot come in. In your face. Now, without any hesitation. I was there a few times. One woman, her husband is an electrician. He wears this blue uniform. And she said, well, economy is, financials are very bad right now because my husband can only work by the Jews. But even by the Jews, he cannot work because if they own a building and the tenants are non-Jewish, they don't let him in. If there's a leak or something, he's a plumber, not electrician. If there's a leak, the owner of the building is a Jew. He wants to hire one from the shul. The goy doesn't let him in. He said, no, tell him to send somebody else. You cannot come into my house. This is what's going on. Europe, it's nothing new. It was always like this. But here now, it's becoming like this, and you see it everywhere you go. It's very scary. And usually when the economy is bad, right away they remember that it's all the Jewish fault. Like in Wall Street, they scream, who is this? It's a scream, a Jew. Who is her? A Jew, Bernanke, Jew, Greenspan, Jew, this one. That's why they scream on the streets in Wall Street. In front of the Jews, they don't care, they're not embarrassed in front of the camera. You understand? You know, so far they're only talking and there's some violence here and there. But you know what's happening? These things, chas v'shalom, in 1 minute can turn into a big ball of fire. Because it can be 20, 30 crazy people walking the street and the next thing become demonstrations here. We're not going to be able to come out of town. So now Hashem is closing, that's it. In Israel, they say now the Syria, the Hezbollah, problems with Turkey, Egypt, now the Muslims took over. Hashem is preparing us for the last final battle. If you read what the Sfarim says about these days, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was crying about this generation. He didn't want to be here. All the Nevi'im, Zechariah Yudaled, all the Nevi'im spoke about these days. You read what it says, it's mamash... You get goosebumps. So we have to now. Now it's the time. If we don't do it now, who knows when? Now it's the time to invest everything, not in money. Now, 100% in emunah, irat shamayim, honesty, integrity, midot, being humble, Torah, lots of Torah, and a lot of gmilut chasadim to do for others. Because everything in the end will be midah keneged midah. You don't deserve to get saved. But many people depend on you, so Hashem save you. You don't deserve to be saved, but you learn a lot of Torah, you revive the whole world, Hashem say, listen, thanks to you the world exists, I'm saving you. If you don't have this and that, Hashem yirachem. So Ezrat Hashem, I know it's not easy. To talk, it's always easy, but to do, we know that it's not easy. But everybody has to take things serious now, because really, really, I know you've been hearing it 10, 20 years, But now it's really critical. If you connect a little bit to what's happening, I speak to people all the time, the things that I hear, mamash, never heard before. We hope that Hashem will ease it, you know, but probably it's a part of the plan. Then Hashem pushing us, that's it, to do tshuva, until everybody will understand, en lanu al mi lismoch. We cannot count on anyone, not on the police, not on the FBI, not on anyone. אין לנו על מי לסמוך, אלא רק על אבינו שבשמיים, then the גאולה will come. ברוך אדוני לעולם, אמן ואמן. זה קליש. רבי חנניה בן הקשיא אומר, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לזכות ישראל, לפיכך, לא קליש? אה? לא, 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 אוקיי, תודה רבה.